You know, with the number of people running for attorney general and the flurry of names that come at people, I mean, when you look at the ballot here in Southern Illinois, just the judgeships alone is just kind of a blizzard. And, you know, one of the issues here, and I'm so glad you were able to join us this morning, is I wanted to talk about you among the other candidates. We've talked to many of the others. I guess you start with the fact that you're, well, I think the first mayor of Highland Park. I think that's a good place to start.
Thank you. First woman mayor of Highland Park. I've been in my office now for 7 years and really enjoy the opportunity to be in charge, set the agenda, and make sure everybody's needs are getting met, whether it's snow, whether it's making sure that our budgets are balanced, taking on important roles like creating a legal aid clinic to help people with housing issues or domestic violence. It's a real opportunity that I've enjoyed, and I'm eager to take my record of advocacy to a broader realm as Attorney General.
Now, when it comes to Attorney General, what's your legal experience?
Well, I just to give you sort of the quick background, I went to Stanford for college and majored in economics. I have an MBA from Northwestern and worked in Detroit for General Motors on their treasurer staff, and then came back to Chicago and went to the University of Chicago for law school and practiced with McDermott, Will & Emery, one of the large firms in the city in the area of healthcare law. And my practice focused on dealing with fraud and abuse in the healthcare industry, licensure, regulation, and so forth. I've now moved more into an advocacy role, and creating this legal aid clinic was a piece of that. But in between, I also helped parents of kids with chronic conditions, chronic illnesses, sort of maneuver their way through public school. So took on more of an advocacy role in the middle.
You know, when you look at the Attorney General's office, and I talk about this with many of our guests when it comes to this role, and sometimes I think early on, especially when I first met Lisa Madigan, it changed the way I perceived the Attorney General's office. I always looked at it as the head lawyer, when that's not really the case. It's the head law enforcement agent in the state, you know, and I think that's an important and crucial difference.
It's a huge role that really needs to be prioritized and understood in terms of consumer protection efforts, environmental protection, helping victims of crime, and also making sure that every rule is being enforced. No matter who you are, you're not above the law, but also recognizing that this is someone who's saying to Illinois, I've got your back. We've seen a lot of the attorneys general across the country standing up to federal efforts to roll back really basic sort of civil and human rights, the very fundamental rights of our democracy, whether it's the travel ban, rolling back environmental protection. There's a real role and a real importance of having somebody who's experienced in holding a major office like this, who also has a background in a variety of areas and can understand how they are interrelated and how to take appropriate action, whether it is filing a lawsuit or working with the Illinois General Assembly to create new laws, or simply being that advocate for people.
You know, it's interesting. When I was speaking with someone earlier this week, they said, you know, opioids are the new meth.
Right.
I thought that was an interesting perspective.
Absolutely. And you know, we saw great action by Attorney General Madigan in the area of dealing with meth and access to, you know, Sudafed and people's ability to make meth, the issue with having access to materials on farms and giving people really important information on how to protect those materials and see if there's been somebody tampering with your products. But opioids, it's interesting. Opioids are an issue that can be addressed both head-on locally, but also there are issues with offshore and online pharmacies that really need to be regulated and stopped, and then also sort of a peeling back of the outer layer of the onion and saying, what's causing people to turn to opioids? It's not just a matter of shutting down access to the drugs. That's a key part, but also recognizing that there's a very real need for mental health care services, addiction recovery services, and helping people work through whatever pain they're trying to self-medicate.
When I look at this problem as a numbers problem and realize each addict and what their appetite is each day for pills, 8, 10, 12, right? You start small, you grow. right? Meth, you know, made in, you know, out by a barn in Union County or Johnson County or Pope County or something along that line here in Southern Illinois, and sometimes on a city street in some of our communities. Law enforcement agents have told me that more than once, right? So there's there's production. You go steal the anhydrous or whatever it is. With this, you know, I've had many people when I talked about the sheer numbers here. When you take a look at this new congressional hearing that, you know, like 10 million pills are sent to a town of 2,900.
Right. It's unbelievable. And so there needs to be accountability by the corporations, you know, and even the insurance companies covering. If you have a wisdom tooth pulled, why do you need 30 days worth of whatever to get through the pain? There are some real opportunities to bring in new regulations and to really make sure that people are being held accountable, because right now there's too much focus on corporate profit and not enough focus on the absolute devastation that we're seeing, not only across our state, but across our country.
What I have a problem with is other people who are for this office who seem to relegate this to people who break into grandma's medicine cabinet, because that is not the source of the problem in the numbers that are required to fuel the opioid epidemic and 60,000 overdose deaths a year.
Right.
Those pills are not coming out of grandma's cabinet.
There are some people who do get started finding something in grandma's cabinet, but they're not continuing. And, you know, I think it's a more comprehensive question that really needs to be addressed. I'm pleased that now Narcan is going to be available across the counter, because, frankly, families are dealing with this. And while they're working to get the right treatment for whoever is dealing with the problem, it's very scary to have the risk of somebody dying in a matter of minutes, and if first responders aren't able to get there, to be able to have that in your midst so that you can take action. But to your point, the bigger issue really is, I think, irresponsibility on the part of Big Pharma for the sake of making big bucks, and it's just got to turn around. This is an absolute devastation to everybody in our state.
It seems that Illinois' reputation for corruption is growing. At least, of course, I'm in the bottle on this. I've lived here my entire life in Illinois, and I can't help but think my personal perception involves that, because it bothers me, as I know it bothers you. What role does the Attorney General have in fighting corruption in the state of Illinois?
I think it's a matter of setting that as a priority from the very top. And when I became mayor, I brought reforms to my own city hall, brought cameras into meetings that previously hadn't had those cameras, really educated my public in terms of what information they could access and how, and increasing ethics guidelines for appointed and elected officials. It's got to be a priority. And, you know, the wink, wink, nod, nod way of Illinois has destroyed the trust of the people and really diminishes the ability for government to do its job. You know, we are, as public officials, absolutely tasked with protecting the life, health, and safety of the people of Illinois. And if you don't have the resources, and we were just talking about that with the opioid situation, if you don't have the resources to provide for the people, then why are you in that role? So dealing with corruption needs to be a priority. It's a couple of things. It's a matter of making sure that everybody knows what tools are available to them. I currently sit on the Illinois Comptroller's Local Government Advisory Board. One of the things that we're working on is improving the uniformity of financial reporting and also making sure that people know what kind of data is accessible. Because if you think about it, where's corruption? Follow the money. And so issues like Dixon, Illinois, a tiny town of about 5,000 people, millions of dollars were embezzled by somebody who was responsible for making sure taxpayer dollars were used appropriately. People need to know how to be watchdogs. And we know that there's frustration with the state, frustration with different counties, but there's also an issue, obviously, with local government. And so being able to provide that outreach and those tools to people, letting them know how to get that information and then what to do with it, are very key parts of starting to take care of this really major issue. The other piece is there is the public access counselor within the Attorney General's office. They are woefully underfunded and totally overwhelmed with people filing complaints and making claims. So again, you got to prioritize this. You got to say this is something that is important. It's important not just now, but for the future stability of our state, and take those steps to clean it up. I believe even today there was another thing in the news about Rauner and FOIA. You know, Freedom of Information Act is an important tool. If you're going to try to get around providing the public with their information, you've got to be held accountable. Nobody's above the law.
You know, it was interesting. When I looked at your website and when it was describing you, you say, I will be a powerful advocate continuing my fight against the NRA to reduce gun violence. And to be honest with you, Nancy, I don't see a lot of NRA members who are responsible for gun violence.
So where that comes from is under the 2013 Concealed Carry Act, Illinois allowed municipalities to a 10-day window to ban assault weapons and large capacity magazines. So the accessories and guns that were used in Vegas, the accessories and guns that were used in Sandy Hook. And so seeing that opportunity and knowing that it could happen anywhere, I'm a mother of four, and it was a consensus of the council that representing the people who have elected us, these guns, large capacity magazines, have no place in our city. And it's interesting, you know, even Senator Durbin has said, if you need an assault weapon to hunt, maybe you should take up fishing. You know, it's one of those things where we as a nation are our own unique player in the world. No other country allows guns the way we do. And I fully recognize that there needs to be a balance. We know that law-abiding citizens are well-versed in terms of safety and training and know how to handle guns. We have a farm in Kankakee. There's a difference I recognize between rural parts of Illinois and the issues that are going on in the city of Chicago. But there are some steps, I feel, that need to be taken. And if you look at what's happening in terms of crime guns and people who shouldn't have guns in their hands, whether they're, you know, serial domestic violence offenders or criminals who've had repeat offenses, I think we need to do a better job of making sure that those guns are not making it to our streets and our neighborhoods.
How familiar are you with Southern Illinois? How much time have you spent here? I'm kind of curious about your experiences because, you know, when you look, it used to be everything with me was black and white. I don't know if you were ever that way in your life, yes or no or black or white. Well, there's a spectrum, and you have to be honest with yourself sometimes that, you know, Illinois is different from Chicago to Cairo, and there's a spectrum in between.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just stepped down as president of the Illinois Women's Institute for Leadership, an organization that was created by Senator Dick and Loretta Durbin to train women in Illinois to run for office. And part of the wonderful curriculum that's created is introducing people and giving them experience across the state. So I am proud to be endorsed by Sheila Simon. I've been to the DeCoyne State Fair, been to Carbondale, have spent time pretty much across every part and every region of the state. That's the absolute beauty of our wonderful state is, you know, the people are all good-hearted. The people are all very proud of our lives here on the plains and in the city and on Lake Michigan. There's so much that it has to offer. But it's important to have an attorney general who can recognize that there are differences across this wonderful state of ours. But I have literally been from Cairo to Zion and beyond, and east and west as well, and that's been part of the fun of running for this office, has been being all over the state, talking to folks and hearing what's common. And what's common is a real desire to have an independent, principled attorney general step into the shoes that Lisa Madigan has left behind and do a good job in terms of consumer protection and environmental protection, standing up for the rights of crime victims, and also taking a strong stance in terms of this opioid crisis and moving our state forward in a way that really protects all of the rights of all of the people.
Now, here's the thing that people tell me right now, and I'm just going to lay it out here flat for you. Nancy Roetering is joining us this morning, and she is a Democratic candidate for Attorney General. People see the resist movement manifest in Lisa Madigan and going after the federal government over some of the issues you just talked about, right? Sanctuary city, the immigration issues, environmental issues, right? And a lot of people say, look, I want an attorney general that realizes before we tell other people how to conduct their business that we need to get our act together in Illinois. Now, a lot of that based on the money issues of the state of Illinois. And those things bleed over because they're aggravated, period, right? But they say, look, I don't want somebody who wants to resist D.C. I want somebody who goes to Springfield and cleans up that mess. I want to see something done about corruption. I want to see our people taken care of. You understand that?
I fully understand that. I've been in elected office for 9 years and 7 as a mayor. I'm proud that my city is one of a handful across the state of Illinois that still has a AAA bond rating, the highest rating for financial assessment of a city. We've had balanced budgets our entire time, and I'm known to be a fiscal conservative. It's important, and I can't state this strongly enough, for people to recognize that when they elect people to represent them, they need to hold them accountable. And for far too long in this state, we've had folks who have been focused more, I think, in terms of self-enrichment and not doing what they were hired to do. And I've been very outspoken about that on the campaign trail, and will continue to take that stance as Attorney General. I'm running for this seat because I have had decades of experience as an advocate, as someone who has worked in finance and business, as someone who has rooted out fraud and abuse in a major industry, the healthcare industry, and I will bring that knowledge and that objectivity to this role.
You know, when it comes to this, there's one thing that's just kind of aggravated me. Isn't that gun issue that we talked about?
Uh-huh.
I watched this documentary on Vice, and I don't normally watch that channel, but I turned it on and it was on. And a musician had gone to Chicago with a camera crew of Vice and talked to the people who were selling the guns. And I don't think I had seen anything so real in a very long time. He went where probably no other film crew could have possibly gone. And they had their voices were disguised, they had masks on, and they're literally driving in through a garage door, closing it, everybody masked, and taking the guns out to sell them on the streets of Chicago, and they brought them in from another state. And the guy who's talking to the host of the show towards the end, the rest of the crew is there, and he looks over at the host of the show, and he says, "Take me with you. Take me with you, man. Get me out of here. I want to leave." You know, and there's nothing that struck me with the sincerity of that, because you can tell the camera crew wasn't ready. This guy knows what he's doing, doesn't like what he's doing, knows the effect of what he's doing, and doesn't know how to get out.
Right.
And I've always, that, you know how there's that one thing, it's like a pebble in my shoe, I can't get it out, because I realize that some of these people are trapped, and I have a hard time with that, but I also have taken the time to meet a number of gang members who have taken a little more time to explain this to me, and I think it's something a great many people don't understand until you're inside that pressure cooker if you try to develop this. But my personal peeve is, and I see it from stem to stern, legal gun owners have to have a FOID card. But these people who violate gun laws, I never see them charged with not having a FOID card.
Right. Well, and it's important to note, and this is one of the things that I've been trying to communicate with the Illinois General Assembly, you know, FOID cards versus straw purchasers. And so you have folks who don't have a FOID card, who bring in someone with a clean background, and for whatever reason, there are just a handful of these bad apple gun dealers outside of the city of Chicago who are selling mass quantities of guns to folks, knowing full well that they are not buying them for personal use. They're buying them to traffic them on the black market. And so it's one of those things where if you can shut down those dealers or hold them accountable, you'll do a significant job of diminishing the number of guns who are getting into the wrong hands.
You know, it's been a real pleasure meeting you.
Well, I've enjoyed the time talking to you. Thank you so much.